Romans 12 is scripture that everybody memorizes. If you go to the right kind of church long enough, you're going to hear preachers quote it, and you're going to hear it preached on and talked about. Every once in a while, you will hear someone stand up and quote these verses of scripture. And I want to read them and then tell you about how easy they are to quote and how hard they are to practice. Romans 12, 1 and 2 is real tough when you put it right down where we live. And tonight, I want to instruct you from the Word of God and read these first two verses first of all. Then I want you to keep your Bibles open and go with me through some other verses. Now, I don't usually do this, but, you know, I don't want to do the same thing all the time. So I'm going to do something a little bit different than my normal style of preaching tonight. And so please keep your Bibles open and follow along with me. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Stop right there. In the Old Testament, they offered sacrifices. They came, they brought their goats, their lambs, whatever, and they killed them, took the blood there, offered it to the Lord as a sacrifice on the altar. Now in the New Testament, they no longer do that anymore. We're saved by grace on Christ's blood and death on the cross. So he tells us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Our bodies are literally supposed to be on the altar. We have no right to do what we want to do, only in the scope of God's word. Now, a man said, if you Christians don't have any right to do what you want to do, why do you say that you're free? And it's like if I had a big dog lot tonight, and I had a dog lot big as this church, had a fence around this church tonight, and we had a bunch of things in there for a dog to play with, everything in the world to make a dog happy, and I put that dog in there and I said, all right, you are free in this lot, right? Amen? That dog can run around here. He can turn flips. He can do anything he wants to do. He can jump up. He can lay on his back and go to sleep. He can eat. He can drink water. He can do anything he wants to do, but he's got to stay in that fence. Now, God does us like that. He sets us free in Jesus Christ. Only free in Jesus Christ. The only way a man has freedom is in Jesus Christ. Now, just because you're free in Jesus does not mean you can just do anything in the world and God be pleased with it. Amen? I mean, there's some things that grieve the heart of God. There's a lot of things God lets you make up your mind about. You get to make up your mind what house you'll live in. But you don't have a right to steal a house. Be hard to do, but you have that right. You have a right to drive whatever kind of car you want to drive, but you don't have a right to steal somebody else's car. See what I'm saying? You can be as happy as you want to be, yet inside the fence. Now, that's what the book means. You, for example, marriage. You marry anybody you want to if you're a single individual and available only in the Lord. Right? All right? You can get a job anywhere. Something wrong here, Roy. You can get a job. Turn that low off of it. There you go. That's sounding already. Anywhere you want to get one, that'll hire you. But it has to be somewhere where you can serve God and put God first. Okay? That's what he's saying. Romans 12, 1, 2. 1. Your body's a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, when you give your whole life to God, you ain't done nothing beyond what a normal Christian should do. You know, we have the idea these days that there's only a few Christians whom God calls to surrender all. That is not biblical. In the Bible, every Christian is to surrender all, and the Bible calls that reasonable. Amen? The Bible says when you've done everything you can do, that's your reasonable service. All right? Look here what he said. Yeah, it's your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, those verses are often quoted, and young people often memorize them, and they're sang about and preached about. But I want to show you tonight how to put into practice those verses.
And I believe tonight that you find out a little bit about how to put those verses in practice by what the rest of the chapter says. So I'm going to ask you if you'll stay with me a few minutes tonight, keep your Bibles open, and look at verses 3 through 21. Now, there's several different kinds of preaching. If you've been going to church long enough, you know this. You might not know the terms for them, but you know they are. There's what you call homiletical preaching. Now, homiletical preaching is when the guy makes you a nice outline and just gives it, and boy, when he gets through, you can remember just like a picture that he painted for you. Then there's what's called expository preaching. Now, expository preaching is when a guy takes a verse or a passage of Scripture and just digs down into it and digs down into it and digs down into it. And that's good kind of preaching. And then there's what you call topical preaching, which a man will say, I'm going to preach on drunkenness, or I'm going to preach on jealousy, or I'm going to preach on murder, and then he preaches that thing all the way through the Bible. That's what's called topical preaching. And then there's kind of preaching where you just take a text and preach from it, you know. God said, I'm going to take me a text and preach from it. That means you just take a text and preach from it and don't never get back to it. And then there's other kinds of preaching where they call it take a text and take a fit. And you've heard that kind, I'm sure, where a guy just reads a verse of Scripture and goes, whoa, for about 30 minutes, and you don't know what he said when he gets through. There's all kinds of preaching. Now, the kind of preaching I'm going to do tonight is an old favorite of a lot of people, and it's called reading and hollering. And this old kind of reading and hollering preaching will get the job done if people listen. You ain't take notes, ain't even no use trying. Cause you can't take a note because I don't even know what I'm going to say. It's called reading and hollering. That means the old reading and hollering preaching goes like this. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know what I'm talking? That's reading and hollering. You just read it and holler it, read it and holler it, read it and holler it. And that's all right, amen? That'll get the job done. Now I'm going to read verses 3 to 21 and holler them. I'm going to read them and then holler them, okay? Look at verse number 3. For I say unto through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's a good one to holler on right there, ain't it? Now, according to the Bible tonight, there ain't none of us big shots. There ain't none of us supposed to think that we are some big on the totem pole or some important thing. I want to say this evening, there is no big shots in this church. There ain't no big eyes, little U's, you know, unimportant members and all of that stuff. I hope and pray by the grace of God that we'll not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. There's no big shots in heaven. We're all on the same ground at the foot of the cross. And brother, the Bible said, think soberly. In other words, you ain't thinking soberly when you think you're something. I've seen a lot of Christians that strut in. Boy, and you would think that they come in with the attitude of, buddy, God really got something when he got me. Yeah, he sure did, all right. He sure did. He got a blob of sin. I think, well, God is very fortunate. They're very fortunate to have me around here at this church, and they better watch their mouth or I'll walk out on them, and I won't come around them no more. Oh, can we have that in writing? Do you promise? Oh, after you tonight, brother, God's business has no room for peacock Christians. God's business, according to the Bible, if you want to practice Romans 12:1-2, then let's just come down off our high horse and get down here and be a sinner like everybody else. Amen? You know what? Brother, it bothers me to be around somebody that I've been around them for 10 years and I've never heard them admit they're wrong one time. I've never seen them in the altar. They never feel bad about nothing. They never have no sins to repent of. There's something wrong with somebody like that. I heard a preacher friend of mine. He used to pastor this old church, and he pastored it for 5 or 6 years, and he had deacons in the church that never came to the altar. And one morning he got up and he said, some of you people ought to go get drunk. And buddy, they looked at him like, Lord, did our preacher say that? He said, right. He said, I preach to everything I know to preach on. You ain't never come to the altar and repented of nothing. He said, you ought to do something wrong once in a while, so you'll have something to repent of. Now, you know he didn't mean that, but he was trying to make a point. What the point was, brother, listen, there is no such thing as big shots in the work of God. Listen, cemeteries are full of people who thought the world couldn't do without them. Do you know that? And the world is going along just fine. And God, they say that God crowns with glory, but God's crown of glory won't get a swollen head. And if somebody's got the big head, God can't get a crown to fit on you. They say that somebody that they're going to invent a special encyclopedia for Christians that know everything, and it's full of blank pages. I know some men ought to have that. They got a problem, you know. They're too big for their britches. They have what we call a superiority complex. You know what that means? They think they're better than everybody else. And nobody, no matter what kind of conversation is brought up, they think it's just me, I, and everybody else is way down here somewhere. The Bible said, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. I'll tell you what, brother, if we'd realize that everybody in the world are low-down, stinking human beings just like us, it would let us realize that there's nobody any better than anybody else. They ain't one person in this world, as far as their flesh is concerned, that any better than anybody else. You know the difference between you and Charles Manson tonight? The grace of God, and that's it. Outside of the grace of God, you're capable of committing any crime or any sin in the book. Now, I know you say, well, I would never do that. You're just I'm preaching to tonight. You better watch these people that say, I'd never do this or that. I remember hearing a man sit up in an old building one time and say, I would never do such and such. And that fellow wound up doing the very same thing and even worse than the person he is talking about. That Bible said not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. And every once in a while, you know, you get real embarrassed, you know, and somebody will say something about the bus kids or maybe the special citizen or something like that. I want our church to be the kind of church, my dear friend, we don't have to be embarrassed. We don't have anything to be proud of. We're just sinners saved by the grace of God. And brother, that's what we are tonight. But let's notice verses 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one of another. Now, what's that saying? God's comparing your church to a body. All right. Now, my body here tonight, I have over here a hand. Now, there is no use in my hand getting jealous because I don't put shoes on it. What if my hand come up to me and said, Danny, I'm jealous? And I say, why, hand? And he said, because look at them big black shiny shoes that you put on them feet. You never go out and buy me nothing like that. And I say, but listen, you're a hand. You don't need no shoes. And he said, well, I think you're showing partiality. And I said, no, I appreciate you, hand. Honestly, I couldn't do without you hardly. I really do appreciate you. And he said, listen, you don't ever do nothing special for me. I got you some gloves, ma'am. What are you grabbing about? He said, well, I don't ever wear them. And I said, because you can't do nothing with them things on. You can't turn pages, you can't shoot a basketball, play a guitar, or nothing with gloves on. But you're real good just like you are. You say, well, that's stupid. Nobody's hand is jealous of their foot. Now, that's true. The Bible tells us that God put that little finger right there. God did not want that finger coming out of my ear. God wanted that little finger right there because that's where it's useful. See, I can grab a hold of something. I can pick up something. I can grab this mic. I can fix the mic because I got two hands. See, if God only give me one hand, I could have never got that thing stuck back in there. Had to do like that. But listen, every part of your body, God gave it to you for a reason. Oh, if we could ever understand that. Oh, if a church could ever get that through their head. There is no such thing as a giant person in the church who's not important. There is no vestigial organs in the house of God. I mean, nobody in here is tonsils, brother. Or nobody in here is appendix. Everybody in here has a purpose and a job to do for God. They say, well, I'm just not important at the church. I think I'll just start staying at home. They don't need me. Let me tell you something, brother. If all you do is turn and fill your pew and sit there and pray week after week and put your tithes and offering plate and make visitors welcome and pray for the preacher and enjoy the choir, listen, somebody's got to do that. Somebody. There is no such thing as an important job. Did you know they say if you got your big toes cut off, you can't walk? Haitians don't even know if I got big toes or not. Well, I guess you figure I do because I can walk, but you ain't never seen them. Did you know I'm depending on my big toes right now to make me, it'd be hard to walk without them. But they're out of sight. They're hid. I got to thinking about the other day, before on this, I was driving down the road the other day and I said, isn't it amazing how God has made the body? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I got to thinking about how that God fixed it exactly like He wants it. I thought, now listen, wasn't that smart of God? He put your eyes. You know, your eyes are kind of soft little old things. You could just mash one of them like that. I mean, they're almost like, they're a little bit harder than an oyster. And they're right in there. And brother, listen, if your eyes wasn't where they are, that you wouldn't last this fight. You was 5 years old. What if your eye was right here? I mean, just sticking out right here. And the first time you walk, oh, snagged it right off on the side of that pulpit. Now, God got your eyes back in there, and He put bones around. See, you can feel them bones. You feel them bones around there, and there's a little socket, little hole. And you know why that is? Because I'm going to point like that, you know? Didn't hit your eyeball. See? Everybody hit yourself right there. There's something to put in the newspaper. Jim Jones had them all up there hitting herself in the eye Sunday night. Now, you do that. You know why God put that eye back in that socket there? Say, listen, that God didn't discriminate against that eye. What if God had put your eyes over here and your ears in the front? Wouldn't that be sickening? I'd be saying, how y'all doing out there, people? You better repent. And if there's any up here, you better too. Wouldn't that look sick? That'd be weird, man. You couldn't tell which, and you'd have to walk like this. God knew what He was doing. God knew what He was doing. What if God had turned your nose upside down? You ever thought of that? What would it happen when it rained? And your nose literally was upside down. The holes was going up like this. And you were walking around like this, you know, every time it rained, they'd sell you some little something or another to go out there and make a little awning to go over it to keep stuff from going down in it. Can you imagine blowing your nose if it's upside down? Lord have mercy, I never thought about that till just then. I mean, there it goes up in the air. I mean, it'd be just like a little volcano going off. Oh, but God knew what He was doing. God knew what He was doing. God put that nose right there where He's supposed to be. God put the nose right there where it's supposed to be so you could smell. So you could, you know, you could tell when food's good. When food's good, what if your nose is over here somewhere? Just take a bite of food and hold it over. Boy, that smells real good. Huh? No, God put it right there so you can just go, like that. God knew what He was doing. What if God put your ear somewhere it's, you know, on the bottom of your feet? God's not crazy. God knew what He was doing. God fashioned your body. Now, the Bible said every member has a different office. Let me tell you something tonight. Brother, everybody can't be an eyeball. Everybody can't be an eye. There's other scripture in the Bible that said, what if everybody were an eye? Where were the hearing? If we all were an ear, where were the smelling? You know what that means? What if I was just one big eyeball up here tonight? I mean, about this high, about this round. Now, I can see from here to Nebo. But what good would I be to anybody? Think about that. Now, that's silly, ain't it? But that's the way we think it ought to be in the church. Everybody wants to be an eye. Everybody wants to be an ear. Everybody wants to be a feet. Everybody wants to be a... No, coat. Somebody's got to be the little toenail. Somebody's got to be the heart. Somebody's got to be the lungs. Somebody's got to be the stomach. Somebody's got to be the digestive system. Somebody's got to be the big toe. Somebody's got to be the ear. Listen, buddy, listen, you want to see a church that'll put the devil on the run? It's when everybody finds out what God wants him to do and says, hey, I ain't going to try to run your business. God wants me to hear, I'm going to hear. God wants me to preach, I'm going to preach. If out in here would do exactly what God made you to do, man, you talk about the demons running from this place, they couldn't hang around here. Now, the Bible said that there's different members there in verse 3 and verse 4. That's that reading and hollering preaching. Verse 4 and verse 5 tells us about that. Now, look at verse 6, 7, and 8. Having them gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. You know what that means? That means just do what you can do. Don't run your mouth and try to and commit yourself to things you're not able to do. Verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. And all you young preachers, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Oh my, look at that good stuff, people. Oh boy, if you want to exhort, if you give, do it with simplicity. Don't stand up and say, Brother Danny, God told me to give this $100, and I've got to have it next week. But I want to do it tonight. You know, that's all right. It might inspire other people to do that, but there's a difference between just giving to show off and giving from your heart, right? You know, you can always tell when somebody gives a dollar in the offering plate because they take it out like this and wad it up like this. They say, well, let not the right hand know what the left hand know what the right hand's doing. You know, really, it's you're ashamed you're just giving a dollar. Because when they give a 20, they go, you know. Here's a $10 bill. Oh, God. Bless this $10 bill. And drop it in the offering plate like that, you know, let it float down. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. You know, when you take a meal over to somebody's house or give them something, we have our deacons do that, or you ladies, all that. I mean, make sure you do it with cheerfulness. I mean, you don't come in with somebody's house, well, here's your groceries. You know, maybe that'll keep them starving. If you get right with God, you might not be in this mess. But the Bible said, do it with cheerfulness. Do it with cheerfulness. Don't say, well, I'm a Christian, I got to help them. I mean, the right kind of an attitude toward helping people out. Well, let's read a little bit more and holler a little bit. Verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Boy, there's a good one. Let love be without dissimulation. How many of you know what dissimulation means? Dissimulate. Hey, raise your hand if you know what dissimulate means. Get you a dictionary. You should know what that means. Some of you people have been saved longer than I have. Listen, it means hypocrite. It means hypocrisy. It means claiming to be something you're not. Now, the Bible said, let your love without hypocrisy. That means don't just put on a big act and love people. Oh, I love you. God bless you. And in the back of your mind, you hate their guts and go out and talk about them like a dog. The Bible said, let your love be without hypocrisy. If there's anything that makes God sick, it's this fake Christianity that love, love, God bless you, brother, God bless you. I have people do that to me all the time. I can tell. I've even heard them, the things they've said about me, and then when I see them, they just eat me up to their face. The Bible said, to my face, the Bible said, let love be without dissimulation. Without dissimulation. It's not, God bless you, brother, stabbing you in the back at the same time. You say, well, Brother Danny, I just have a hard time loving this person. Well, that's what the altar's for. That's what the altar's for. How long's it been since you've been on it a while? How long's it been since you asked God to put the love in your heart? Let love be without dissimulation. Somebody said that a hypocrite never intends to be what he pretends to be. A hypocrite never intends to be what he pretends to be. Listen, he's a hypocrite. He's a put on. He's like a fellow who writes a book on atheism and then prays that it'll sell. He's like a fellow who says, well, I'm this way at church, but I'm the other way at work. He's like a kid that says, I love Jesus on Sunday night, and loves MC Hammer on Monday morning. He's a hypocrite. Now listen, you can't love the devil, God. It's impossible. You cannot do it. You know, they said one time there's a magnetic storm, and somehow, I read this, I don't even know if it's true or not. One of you, Clinton or Brother Roy Rabb, might be able to tell us. But they said in New York, it's been several years ago, that there was a magnetic storm somehow or another picked up a telephone conversation off a phone line, and somehow or another that thing got on the radio. And it was an intimate phone conversation between two people. And it got broadcast coast to coast on the radio. Lord, can you imagine that? Now, some of you are starting to see some wild looks on people. You're thinking, Lord, what if some of my phone conversations have been on the radio? Boy, what if something just tapped in on you this week and it come on WBRM? No. Oh, you talk about churches splitting. You talk about people being murdered, husbands being divorced. Lord, have mercy. But listen. Wouldn't it be a good practice for all of us to just kind of lay off some of this stuff? I mean, if we're so ashamed of it, what are we saying it for? Now, I know that there are such a thing as a private conversation between a man and wife, father and children, or even close friends. But I'm just saying, hypocrites or somebody that just, oh, I'm this way, and God bless you, I love everybody. I tell you what I've had happen. I've had people tell me, I won't name no names, but I could. I tell you what, I could name at least, I could. I tell you what I could do tonight. I tell you people that have said, Brother Danny, is there anything I could do to help you? And I heard that so long that I made up my mind, the next time somebody says that, I'm going to tell them. You know, usually you say, no, I appreciate it, God bless you. And that's what they're expecting you to say. Come on. Now don't get quiet now. That's exactly what they're expecting you to say. Say, is there anything I can do to help you? Yes, there's a commode stopped up back in the women's bathroom, and I've got a deacon. Could you go back there and fix? Well, what'd you set for, a hypocrite? Oh, you meant preach Sunday morning, I reckon. Oh, you meant lead the choir, or maybe sing a special. No, all that stuff needs to be done. But them commodes need to be unstopped, too. Let love be without dissimulation. Listen, if you're having to fake it and it's killing you to love me, you come down here tonight and let's pray about this thing and get it right. I don't have to put on a big act to love nobody in here. I will admit some of you are easier than others. But I tell you what, I love everybody in here tonight. I know that I'm not easy to love always, but God said let your love be without dissimulation. You got something we need to get straight? Got something we need to talk about? Let's go down here and get it straight tonight. Life's too short to mess around like that. We're getting ready to face God pretty soon. Let's get it right. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I mean business with this thing. I'm serious about serving God. I believe this Bible. I believe we're going to face God Almighty one day. I don't believe it's a religious show that we're putting up here on Sunday morning. It's a way of life that we're going to answer to God Almighty for one day. All right. Look here at verse number 10. Well, we ain't finished 9 yet. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. That means hate evil, witchcraft, beer, drugs, rock and roll, the New Age movement, all forms of Satanism, Ouija boards. Anything the devil's for, we ought to be against. Anything the devil's for, we ought to be against. The devil's against Jesse Hams.
Amen. That's right, ain't it? How many of you here thinks the devil is for Jesse Hammond? He's against him, ain't he? Oh, he's done telling us who. I didn't tell you who to vote for. You can vote for Brother Bruce for a senator if you want to. I don't care. But I'm just saying everything the devil's for, we ought to be against. Everything the devil's against, we ought to be for. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, this reading and hollering preaching gets a lot of stuff in it like that. Little nuggets from the original Greek. And I'm telling you tonight, my dear friends, listen, brother, everything, if the devil's for it, we ought to be against it. And if the devil's against it, we ought to be for it. Amen? Don't matter what it is, let's get on the bandwagon for God. All right. Verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one to another. Kindly affectioned. You know something? I don't care who you are, as a husband and wife, you're going to get on each other's nerves every now and then. I don't care how good of a marriage you've got, you're going to irritate each other. That's why the Bible says, wives, husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. You know what a man's problem is in his marriage? Getting bitter against his wife because she gets on him all the time. That's right. You know when she walk in the door, she's going to start on you about something you she been fussing about for 6 months, and fix that faucet over. When you gonna fix that thing? Fix that thing. And you say, I know it's tore up. You've told me 1,000 times. You say, well, when are you gonna fix it? I'm gonna fix it, but not today. I can't do it today. And boy, if you're not careful, you'll get bitter against them. Now the same things in church. You know, I've hurt a lot of people's feelings, and people's got mad at me for stuff that I didn't even know I did, and had no intention at all. Well, I asked Brother Danny to do this, and it went 2 or 3 months went by, and he never did do it, and long enough, I'll do whatever you want me to do. But I tell you what, if 1,000,000 people ask me to do 1,000,000 things, I can't remember all of them. And I want to tell you something tonight. The Bible teaches us we need to be kindly, affectionate, in love with each other. Listen, us men up here tonight, we got to have good feelings toward each other in this choir. And I don't mean that wrong. You perverts. I mean, I know you can't hardly say nothing like that nowadays. But I tell you something, brother. Me and Brother John always work together every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, Wednesday night. But I mean, the air's got to be clear between me and him. And I appreciate Brother John. And he shakes me. Hope he does. Says he does. And I tell you what, tonight, my dear friend, I consider him my friend. Me and Brother Bruce the same way. Brother, you and your Sunday school teacher is the same way. You and your person that sings beside you in the choir is the same way. There's got to be a brotherly kindness and affection one toward another. We're like a big family. That don't mean we always like everything each other does. That don't mean we always go along with each other on everything. Now, personally, a while ago, I thought the drums should have played during the entire verse. Somebody else think the verse should only play on the chorus. You know what that means? It don't mean nothing. Amen. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Somebody says, well, I just don't like them old fancy songs. Well, that's why we sing a few songs every now and then. Have something for everybody. I like the hick songs. I like the fancy songs. As long as they bring honor and glory to God, I like I'll Fly Away. I tell you the truth, I want them boys to play Foggy Mountain Breakdown. I know that's awful. I'd like for them to get them things up and play it out there in the parking lot or somewhere before they go tonight. I think Foggy Mountain Breakdown is really a gospel song. Nobody just didn't write the right words to it. I tell you, man, it's a blessing to me. Every time I hear it, it makes me want to do something. Clog or something. But I tell you what, brother, listen. I mean, we don't supposed to have a hallelujah chorus every time we come to church. Amen? It's just like you ladies set a meal on the table. You fix me now, little so-and-so likes gravy, and so-and-so likes them big biscuits, and I fix him, and so-and-so likes pork chops and all that. So you try to have something that all the family will like and enjoy. And boy, we try to have a table spread up here on Sundays, and no matter what's your spiritual appetite, there ought to be something you can get a hold of. We try to, listen, some churches, they just say, now today we are going into the deeper life. And as we begin to see
who we are, Christ. Now, Christians can live off that. But teenagers will quit church off that kind of preaching. And nobody gets saved.
I'm telling it like it is. So you know what I try to do when I preach? I always try to put something in there for the teenagers that they can relate to. They can get a hold of.
And I've had mamas and daddies tell me, they say, "Brother Denny, I appreciate it so much." They say, when you get talking about their favorite rock stars and you get talking about this and that, they said, "My kid listens and it gets a hold of. I appreciate you thinking about them." Listen, brother, we're not here to please ourselves. We're not here just to soak up blessings for ourselves. We got a church full of young people. We got little boys and little girls that we ought to try to have something here for every Sunday when they come to the house of God. And that ain't easy, especially when you're the cook trying to do it every week. By the grace of God, that's what we ought to do. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Her little baby bite your baby in the nursery? Bit a hunk out of it, reckon?
Now, there's two or three ways to handle that situation. Number one, cause your baby to bite it back. Number two, bless her out and get right in her face and say, "Can't you control that little brat?" and cause trouble in the church. Number three, let it go and pray about it and say, "Well, he's probably bit others before mine has." Number four, come and tell me, "Brother Danny, you're going to get some more responsible people in the nursery. They're back there biting each other." And
there's all kinds of way to handle it without causing trouble. So, did you know that the average church, a lot of their problem starts in the nursery?
With the wind. That's why I put a speaker in there. For you to listen to the preaching. I know it's impossible most of the time, but most of the time it's just in there. First trouble starts, then here another trouble starts. Why, she just brings that baby in here and sets it down. What the nursery's for? Amen? So these ladies can hear and listen and do and hear the Word of God.
Be kindly affectioned one to another. Boy, I tell you, we made it through that building program. It's wonder we hadn't busted each other's brains out. By the grace of God, if we can make it through that, we can make it through anything. Verse 11, not slothful in business. Oh, got to hurry along here. Not slothful in business. Now, you know what that means? Every business and things that you do for the Lord, you're not supposed to be slothful in it. Let's suppose you're a Sunday school teacher. Don't never take your job lightly as a Sunday school teacher. A Sunday school teacher's job is important. There can be great men of God traced back to a godly Sunday school teacher that influenced their life. Sunday school teachers ought to be at church on time before it starts. Sunday school teachers should be in their places to greet the children as they come in. Sunday school teachers should have a lesson prepared. Sunday school teachers should be faithful to the house of God. Sunday school teachers should support the program of the church. Sunday school teachers should be faithful to the Word of God. No, King James Bible, and teach it to kids and boys and girls. Sunday school teachers should live what they teach the best of their ability. Be not slothful in your business. Listen, brother, listen, an old dead dry Sunday school teacher ought to be ashamed, because they are going to answer to God for making boys and girls not want to come to Sunday school.
I tell you what, by the grace of God, I'd get down on my knees and I would pray and I'd say, "God, you let me get a hold of something, or let something get a hold of me that will make them kids hear what I'm saying, and God helping you do it." And I know that all of them won't. You're going to have that small amount that always cuts up and won't listen and all of that. But I tell you what, brother, just make up your mind you're going to get their attention if it kills you. And you're going to say, "I'm going to do something. I mean, we're going to do something different. I'll paint something up on the wall. I'll stand on my head like Brother Danny did if I have to. But I'm going to get them kids' attention. I'm going to be slothful in my business for the work of the Lord." Maybe you're a bus worker. Boy, I thank God for these bus workers. But let me encourage you tonight, this evening, bus worker. Listen, get on the ball. Make sure that you realize that every door you knock on, you are in the service of the King. You are there as an ambassador. You are there as a missionary. A bus route shouldn't be just a Sunday school teacher, or a bus route, or a sermon, or anything. Shouldn't be something that you look at like, "Well, let's get it over with." It shouldn't be that way at all. You say, this is my opportunity. This is my opportunity to do something for God. You say, well, Danny, we're going to have beautiful fall days and the leaves are going to be falling and all that. But listen, you got all those other days to enjoy the leaves. And think about if you were sick in the hospital, you couldn't get out and do nothing. Thank God you're able to knock on somebody's door. Thank God you're able to bring a little boy or girl to the house of God. Don't be slothful in your business.
Listen, there's some of you people here, some of our best dedicated bus workers sitting back doing nothing. I want to see you get back in there. I'd like to see you get back in there and say, preacher, I'm back in. Brother Bruce, I'm back in. I want to do my bus route for the glory of God. Whether you're an usher, whether you sing in the choir, if there's anything that'll stir a preacher's heart, it's that choir coming out on Sunday morning and Buddy just flat opening that thing up and rear back and sing. That's what, you listen, the choir, let me tell you something, choir. Don't wait for the congregation to inspire you. You know, if you watch and see. When we get in here and our revival coming up, we got a bunch of Yankees up here from up north and people from Delaware and people from Kentucky and people, they ain't used to our kind of singing and stuff like this. They'll shout the roof off this building and choir will double their volume just like that. Boy, you know when everybody starts shouting, it just makes you get into it. Praise God! You forget about looking to see who's here and who's got on a new dress and all that. But you just start singing the Lord. Listen, don't get your inspiration from the congregation. You inspire the congregation. You don't wait on them to flip the switch on you. You flip the switch on them. I mean, have your switch flipped before you come out of there and come out of here on Sunday morning and say, I've got sunshine in my soul today. I've got sunshine in my soul today. And it'll be long, boy, there'll be a rubbing off on them out here. That's what you call being slothful. I've been to churches and preached. Here comes the choir out. I'm not making fun of them, folks, but it's pitiful. It's a trick of the devil. There's glory in my soul. Oh, really? Not have never known it. Since Jesus took control. Place. They look like they just got out of the dentist office. Fill your heart a happy song. And you're sitting there saying, I'm supposed to get up and have the victory? Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself. I'm not making fun of nobody. I'm just saying the Bible says not to be slothful in business. What if I preach like that? Hey, what if I die? And another preacher comes in here, he says, in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, and he talks like this and says, the Apostle Paul in the Greek was saying, he does that for 45 minutes on you. You say, Lord, have mercy. Can't stand that, preacher. No, and I can't neither. Can't stand it. Can't stand that. And the singing shouldn't be any different than the preaching. The preaching, I'm supposed to be hooked up and plugged in on fire whether you are or not. Amen? I've heard preachers get up and say, now I can't preach if you don't pray for me. That's a bunch of baloney, brother. I hope he don't ever go preach on the street. Caught you, didn't I? Amen. Hey, my preaching don't have to depend on this. My man's full of God. He can preach to a bunch of devils. Now, it helps. It helps. Don't get me wrong. I want you to pray. I covet your prayer. I need it. But I'm going to have some inspiration from God. I'm not supposed to get up here and say, now, you people's going to have to help me. Hey, man, that's what my job is, to help you. I'm supposed to jump you off with a set of spiritual jumper cable. No, I'm not supposed to get up here and whine around about you not backing me up and you not saying amen. Man, just sit down and let somebody plugged in get up. That's fervent in spirit and not slothful in the work of God. Well, got to move on here. Got to move on. A little hollering a little bit there. It takes a long time when you're hollering about all them verses. Fervent in spirit. You know what fervent means? Hot. Brought to a boiling point.
Amen. You want to be, that means on fire for God. That means boiling. I like these young converts. I like these young preachers. Some of these people, that's just hot for God. I mean, boy, their heart's just boiling. They're wanting to do something so bad they can't stand it. Amen. Look at verse number 12. Let's move along right quickly. I'll just hurry through these. Rejoicing in hope. Amen. Hallelujah. We've got something to rejoice over. Not only that, it's addition and tribulation. Just hang in there. No matter what you may be going through, it'll be over with soon. Continuing instant in prayer. Just keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Listen, we need to be praying more and more and more. With our meetings up this fall, I've got some ideas in my head about our fall program and seeing our Sunday school grow. I don't know if you want it, but I believe most of you do. Boy, we can lock arm and on. I've got some plans and some ideas. If you'll just forget your feelings and I'll forget mine, and we'll just lock arm and do what God called us to do, we can see a bunch of people saved this fall in our fall program. Amen, brother. Listen, you know what most churches' problem are? Everybody's mad about something. Everybody disagrees about something. Now the devil's tricked you. He's tricked you right there. If I get mad about something, you know what the best thing for me to do is? Get over it like a big boy and grow up a little bit and say, let the work of the Lord go on. Forget my little feelings. Amen? And brother, if anybody in here has got a reason to, I've got one. Listen, if I'm hurt about something, if I disagree with Brother John, if I disagree with Brother Bruce, you know what my job's to do? My job's to say, well, let's just, for the church's sake, let's just forget this thing. Let's serve God. Let's do what God wants. Listen, if you stub up and bull up over every time something comes up you don't like, you will never amount to anything for God. I'm going to say something else. Hit my mind, I'm going to say it. I've never seen, now we've had people all through these 13 years, we've had them the first year get mad and blow up and blow out. And that's normal. Every church has that. I get worried if that didn't happen once in a while. There's been a few I've prayed out. That's the truth. I ain't never told you that much. There's one guy used to aggravate the fire out of me up there in the old building. I dreaded to see that guy coming. He disagreed with everything. I used to think, Lord have mercy, man, if you disagree with me on everything, what are you coming here for? But I never did say nothing to him. I tried to be nice, and I felt while I was preaching, I could feel him sitting there picking my sermon apart. No. He's always trying to catch me in something wrong. And I got to praying. I said, God, get him out. He's hindering me. God, I try to love him, and I don't hate him. And God, I want to be nice to him, and I'll do everything I can to help him. But Lord, that guy's aggravating a fire out of me. And it wasn't long until he moved away. I said, thank you, Lord. And the church just went right on. Now, really, that's only happened twice in 13 years. So you got real bad for me to pray God will move you out. And I ain't praying that for nobody here or nothing like that. But I'm telling you, I ain't never seen one person get mad and leave the church. I ain't never seen one person get mad and leave the church to what one or two things didn't happen. They wound up in a church that had 10 times more junk in it, or else they quit altogether. Can you? I ain't trying. Listen, I'm not being personal tonight. Can you imagine when the young preachers used to fuss and argue up our over doctrine, and they was arguing about doctrine and the tribulation and stuff like that. Can you imagine somebody quitting the church over a point of doctrine and then going and supporting a church that supports a convention that pays liberal salaries of people that don't even believe in the Bible? Come on now, brother. You believe God let somebody do something like that? I mean, which is worse? Disagreeing about how people are saved in the tribulation? Or giving you money to a program that pays salaries of devils that don't even believe the Bible, teaching in a seminary? You tell me which is worse. Now, I tell you what's wrong with people. They get a chip on their shoulder. They get their own personal feelings. Don't y'all sit there and look at me funny like that. I'm telling you, listen, brother, listen, which is worse? I've heard people say, bless God, I don't agree with Brother Danny on this, and go to a church that's deader than 4 o'clock and ain't nobody saved in 5 years. What is wrong with you, man? Are you sick in the head? Is your brain gone on vacation? The Bible says that we're to rejoice in hope, continue in prayer, be kindly affectionate, pray, let the work go on. God's called us to do Look at verse 13. Distribute into the necessity of saints. That means help people out. Help ladies out. You ladies, all you ladies that ain't on the Dorcas Club list, you'll get on the Dorcas Club list. Listen, there's no reason for about 5 or 10 ladies to have to do all the cooking for when somebody has a death in family. Well, we got enough ladies in here that you ought not to have to do it but about once every 6 months. And I'm telling you, there's enough ladies. All you ladies. You say, well, Brother Danny, you just might be surprised what God will do for you if you'd fix a plate of beans and bring it up here or some macaroni and cheese or some rolls or a cake or someone. Listen, there's somebody going to die in your family one of these days and you're going to expect it. Amen? You want to reap what you sow, don't you? Every woman in the church and visitors too. If you want to get signed up, see Sister Kathy after service. She'll put your name down on a piece of paper. Next time we have a death, I can preach a whole sermon on this, but I got to go. And I'll tell you, next time there's a death, they'll call you up, and you can help out. Amen? Look at verse number 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not, oh my soul. There's a hard one to live by. There's a hard one, ain't it? You got somebody that's doing you wrong? You got somebody on a job that's giving you a hard time, smart aleck? Giving you a rough time? How many of you is going to be like that? Raise your hand. Amen. That's about half the working people in here. Every time you just see them, say, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Well, they'll knock your head off now, but I tell you, you Bible says bless them. You say, well, so-and-so, boy, she's a smart aleck. She's doing everything she can to get me fired, and she's telling things on the boss man. Just walk up, pat her on the back, and say, bless you, bless you, bless you. She'll get mad, but I tell you, Bible said bless them. And curse not. Look at verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. There's a good, ain't it? Boy, if somebody gets to rejoicing, get in there and help them. I like to see somebody takes a good shouting fit. Somebody, let's help them out a little bit. Amen? Boy, I never could stand to be a spectator. I always like to get in on it. I can't stand watch a bunch of people go swimming. I want to get in there so bad I can't stand. I never could stand watch people play ball. I want to play. I can't stand to watch them do anything unless it's something, you know, that I'm not interested in. I can't stand to see a bunch of people shout and just sit there. I want to rejoice with them that do rejoice. But then it said, weep with them that weep. We ought to be able on the same hand to go at the funeral and sit and hold a brother or sister's hand and feel their broken heart and feel their wounded spirit and weep with them that weep. How long has it been since you visited a prison? I was thinking about this week. Have you ever visited a prison? You'd be surprised as you read the Bible how much God says about prisoners. It's shocking. You go through their market sometime, how much God says about prisons and prisoners. How long's it been? All right, verse 15, 16. Be of the same mind one to another. Oh, my soul. That's hard to do, ain't it? Be of the same mind one to another. It's the hardest thing in the world to think the same way toward everybody. We all got our favorites. We all got our best friends. I mean, I do. You do. That's human. It's going to take God. The only way we can all love each other and keep this church going, like, it's going to take the work of God in our heart. You know, we've got a good record. We've never had a split. Hallelujah. Thank God. We've never had trouble with charismatic movement. We've never had trouble with a lot of things that churches split over before they get to 100 people. And y'all attribute that to one thing. God's helped us. God's helped us. We put up with a lot of junk from each other. We've swore a lot of things we didn't lie. And buddy, the devil hates that. And God pats it on the back and says, amen, church. Just go on for the glory of God. Be of the same mind one to another. My soul. I could preach on that for a while. Treat everybody alike. Ain't that something? Yeah, it's hard for you ladies. Bless your heart. That's hard. It's hard for men to treat everybody alike. The ones you don't like, you're supposed to treat just as good as the ones you do like. If you do that, you might start liking them. Who knows? You say, well, Brother Danny, a minute ago you said don't be a hypocrite. Well, you ain't supposed to be a hypocrite, but you're supposed to say, God, if you'll help me to love that person. Help me to be nice to that woman who baby bit my baby. God, help me to be nice to that little brat who slung a door open out there in the parking lot and made a dent in my car. I don't know if that's happened or not. It just come to my mind. It must have. The Lord wouldn't give it to me like that. But I tell you, God, help me love a little brat. Like that. See? Now look at the rest, second part of verse 16. I'm just going to read these others and I'm going to quit. Condescend to men of low estate. Mind not high things. What a verse. There's enough to keep you busy this week. Stay down to earth. Stay down to earth.
Don't get your head in the clouds. Think you're big somebody. Don't just have to have important friends and rich people. Get down here with everybody else. I don't think a preacher. I've had people tell me, they said, Brother Danny, you know why I like you? And I said, why? And they said, because we can touch you. I said, what do you mean by that? And this person said, well, I went to so-and-so and I went to church and I said, like, our pastor was always way up here and I was afraid to approach him. I couldn't talk to him. He said, but I can talk to you. And I said, well, I mean, you know, I think y'all respect a preacher, but I don't think a preacher ought to be where you can't approach him. Amen? I mean, he ain't God. He's a long way from it. And the Bible said, condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Look at verse 17. Recompense. That means pay. Compensate. See that word there? Compensate. Recompense. Recompense. Recompense to no man evil for evil. That means if somebody does you wrong, don't try to pay them back. God will do it. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. My soul, that'll preach, won't it? Make sure you think straight. Make sure you act right. Make sure you're honest. Don't be a crook. Look at verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with all men. I believe, let me just throw this insert in here. I don't believe it just means us get along with each other. It means that I'm supposed to help you get along with each other. If I know two of you are at odds with each other, my job is to come between you. I do that with my kids all the time. You don't believe it. While I was preparing the message this evening, I was up and down the steps, up and down the steps, going down. What's wrong? What's wrong? Why is she crying? I'd go up and study a little bit more. I'd get another one or two of these verses worked on and studied out. I'd run down steps. What's the matter with her? I heard one time Carrie said, Carrie! And I said, Carrie, what's wrong? She said, I know where she's at. She was trying to lay down and take a nap. And Carrie done real good this evening. She watched them about all evening while I was trying to study to get ready for tonight. And I go down there and I settle fights, see? They fight over a baby doll. Well, you hold it 5 minutes, she hold it 5 minutes. You know, that's my job, to make peace in the house. That's my job here as a pastor, too. I hear you hollering at each other. I run down there and say, what's wrong? Now you have it 5 minutes and she have it 5 minutes. Kiss and make up. Come on, honey. Daddy gets passy. Daddy gets passy. Come on, altar, and we'll have a passy. That's what some people need to do. Need to grow up.
And then let's see here. I promise you, I just read them. I'm sorry. Verse 19. Dear beloved, avenge not yourself. You don't have to pay somebody back, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Commentary, nobody's getting away with nothing. Don't worry about it. Well, I'm going to make sure she gets what she deserves. Don't worry. Don't worry. There's somebody keeping records a lot better than you or me, and he's going to make sure everybody gets what's coming to them. Verse 20, let's settle this thing with this. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsts, I've heard people say, well, I'd give him something to eat if he's starving to death. I'd spit on him if he's on fire. That's about it. No, that ain't what that verse is saying. That verse is saying, if you really got a bad enemy and he needs something, get it for him. For in doing so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's how you practice verses 1 and 2. You want to practice verse 1 and 2? That's how to do it. Go home and study them things this week. Let's try to do it. Let's all stand. Let's sing something, Brother John. All right, we're going to sing something tonight. Now, if you need to come to the altar and pray, you probably don't. But if you do, just come on and let's pray. Amen. Most of you grown-up people, you know what you ought to be doing. You know when the devil's in you. So just get it settled tonight.
What'd you say? 319.
Number 319. Everybody, let's sing. Sing that.
Take my life and let it be consecrated,
yes,
Lord, to thee.
Amen.
Take my hands and let them move,
yes,
at the impulse of thy love.
319, folks.
At the impulse of thy love.
All right, now on this next verse, I want everybody everybody sing. Anybody else need to come and pray? There we got some praying tonight. Maybe there's others. Maybe there's something you need to just really get down here and pray about tonight, okay? Let's sing. Go ahead.
Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee.
Yes!
Take my voice and let me sing always on for my King, always only for my King.
That's good, that's good. Let's sing one more verse, everybody.
Take my lips and let them be,
there you go,
filled with message for thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold, not a mite would I withhold.
Amen. Them's good words, ain't it? You saying, brother, why don't you pick out a song that we know? Well, he don't even pick out one he knows. But that's good, ain't it? That's some good words. That's some good words. We still got some coming tonight. Let's sing one more verse, Brother John. I like them words. Listen to them words now. Everybody sing.
Take my love, my God, I pour. At thy feet its treasure store.
Hallelujah.
Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Ever only all for thee.
Amen. All right, let's pray. You play something softly, Kathy. We're going to pray for these on the altar. Maybe needs being met right here tonight. Amen. You just ask God, God, what part of the message was for me? If the Lord says none of it, then you just pray for that person around you or pray for me. But if God puts his finger on one point of the message on your heart and say, that was for you, that was for you. Say, all right, Lord, help me to deal with it. Help me to just put this thing under the blood. I confess it. God, coming on, I'm going to be different. By your grace, I'll overcome it. I can't do it by myself, Lord, but by your grace, I'll overcome it. Lord, I want to put in practice Romans 12, 1 and 2. For you beseech us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Help me to find my place in the church, whether it be Sunday school, choir, or just to be faithful, make tapes, mail letters, give out tracts, preach on the street, usher, sing in the youth choir, drive a bus. God, help me to find my place and put me in it for the glory of God. Let me be a prayer warrior, Lord. Continue an instant in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, in Jesus' sake, amen.